Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. This is K2PI activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held weekly on Sundays at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. The repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a 167.9 Hz subaudible tone for access. My name is Harv, and I'm your net control this evening. The purpose of this net is twofold. First, the net serves as a demonstration of the practice, procedure, and discipline of amateur radio on-the-air voice protocol and net operations. These skills are vitally important in the event of crisis communications, and it is the intent of FARA to build or refresh these skills through its net. Second purpose is to serve as an informal gathering of FARA members and other interested amateurs whereby they can exchange the discussion on technical topics and technical information related to the radio arc. Non-technical discussions or comments are not prohibited, but the theme of this net is technical, and FARA's intention with this net is to provide information on technical topics to both new and seasoned amateurs. This is a directed net. In the first phase of this net, the net control operator will pass information in a general broadcast to all listening amateurs. During this period, the net control may offer or solicit a technical question for comment. This is intended as a conversation starter for the net and to grow the ability of participating amateurs, many of whom may be new to the hobby, allowing them to join an on-the-air conversation with comments of substance. Of course, any other comments that you may have on amateur radio or your activities this past week are also welcome. This is K2PI. After the broadcast phase of the net, net control will invite check-ins. When prompted by net control, each amateur wishing to join the net should transmit and say their entire call and name. Standard phonetics are encouraged. Please do not say "this is" and then unkey before saying your call. This causes check-in collisions and is not a practice we encourage on FARA nets. Net control will acknowledge each station in turn and may invite repeats as needed. Once all participants have checked in, net control will call each station and invite them to transmit. When called upon by net control, participants should take up to 90 seconds to introduce themselves, describe their amateur radio or technical activities this past week, and to offer a response to any topic or questions posed by net control. If you have information for the group, you should unkey and wait for the beep that indicates a reset of the repeater timer before passing that information to avoid timing out the repeater's 3-minute timer. We're always interested in any other relevant amateur radio or technical topic you may wish to comment upon or ask about during your turn. At the conclusion of their comments, net participants should ID and pass the repeater back to net control. Break. This is KQPI. This is a QST to all amateurs. First, for some announcements this week. On October 28th, FARA will be supporting the annual Great Pumpkin Ride event from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. local time. FARA helps the event organizers with net-style communications between the various rest stops and the Warrenton headquarters as an event coordination and safety effort. The shifts are relatively short, and we need two operators, if not more, at each point in the race. If you're interested in signing up to volunteer, or if you have questions, please contact Chuck, K04VNZ, or the FARA board at board at W4VA.org. Also on 28 October, FARA will have its monthly club breakfast at the Bistro Restaurant at the Fauquier Hospital in Warrenton, Virginia. Breakfast starts at 8 a.m. and lasts till whenever. Good food, great coffee, good conversation with your fellow hams. All are welcome, member or not. So an event that everyone's welcome to, member or not, is FARA's next regularly scheduled club meeting, which will take place on 09 November at 7:15 at the PATH Foundation building on the second floor at 321 Walker Drive, that's Whiskey Alpha Lima Kilo Echo Romeo Drive in Warrenton, Virginia. And if you're listening to this net on a scanner or SDR receiver and are wondering how you can become an amateur radio operator yourself, there's a volunteer examiner test session run by the Virginia Volunteer Examiners Group on November 19, 2023 at 9:30 a.m. at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, Porter Branch, at 2001 Parkway Boulevard in Stafford, Virginia. For more information and to register, contact Katie, K4TER, at K4TER, that's Kilo 4 Tango Echo Romeo, at ARRL.net. This is KTPI, now into some technical topics. FARA's Mesh Network continues to grow and expand in reach. As of today, I count 36 active nodes logged by my devices, all of them heard within the past 2 days. Our mesh reach is expanding too, with admittedly spotty but real coverage for most of the flatland portions of our county. At the extremes, we have a regularly connected node in Centerville at one end and Amosville at the other end. We're at the point now where we really need to take a look at mesh efficiency, and Andy K1RA has been collecting and analyzing node statistics. More to come as Andy pulls this data together. The RTL-SDR blog, which is always a great resource for software-defined radio information, has announced that the Software-Defined Radio Academy, which took place at the Ham Radio World Fair in Friedrichshafen, Germany, in June 2023, has published a number of the talks on YouTube. Among these talks is a keynote on what is next in SDR, a talk on the interesting new Saturn SDR, using SDRs in path analysis, using the FST4W mode, and more. They all look pretty interesting and worth the time to watch if SDR topics interest you. Go to https://2023.sdra, that's Sierra Delta Romeo Alpha .io, for more information. As always, the RTL SDR blog is at www.rtl-sdr.com with lots more interesting content. The HF propagation beacon, CS3B, Charlie Sierra 3 Bravo, on the Portuguese island of Madeira was destroyed in a wildfire on the 12th of October. The beacon, consisting of an IC7200 radio, was reduced to nothing more than its metal shell by the heat of the wildfire. Worse, this radio was brand new, and it was only installed a month before. Plans are to resurrect the beacon, but because the building it was in was also destroyed, it may be some time before it's back on the air. The CS3B was part of the Northern California DX Foundation's International Beacon Project, which is a series of HF radio beacons operating on 14.100, 18.110, 21.150, 24.930, and 28.200 megahertz. They're quite useful for propagation checks, especially if you're unable to see online resources from your operating location, for instance, if you're on a POTA activation. Because they reduce their power to 100 milliwatt levels, they're also very good opportunities to see the difference between the initial power level that they transmit of 10 watts, the next level of 1 watt, and the final power level of 100 milliwatts. Sometimes there's not a huge difference. More info on this damage at www.ei7gl, that's Echo India 7 Golf Lima, .blogspot.com. And you can find out more about the Beacon Project at www.ncdxf, that's Northern California DX Foundation's acronym, .org/beacon/beacon. Interesting news on products. Elecraft co-founder Wayne Burdick and 6KR demonstrated the new Elecraft KH-1 5-band HF transceiver at the Pacificon Soto luncheon this month. This new ultra-portable HF radio is quite small. It's literally the size of a chunky HT. It's similar in size to the Nano VNA and the Tiny SA, if you're familiar with those. This is a CW transmitter with the 40 to 15 meter bands, 5 watts of power, an internal ATU, a whip antenna, a small pan adapter, and lots of little design touches. If you're not a CW op or you're not interested in a short pocketable portable HF radio, this may not be for you. It's Elecraft, so it's not cheap, with an introductory price of $5 million. Just kidding. It's still at $549.95 for just the transceiver and $1,100 for their Edgewood package with it, which is basically accessories you really need. It'll be interesting to see how popular this rig is. Elecraft is betting a lot on this new transceiver, so I hope they're able to make this a winner for the sake of this iconic company. In our last little news piece today, the sun's solar cycles are apparently not always 11 years long. That's according to research from the site livescience.com. In fact, for a time not too long ago, they were 8 years long. An analysis of century-old Korean chronicles reveals that this anomaly occurred during the mysterious solar epoch known as the Maunder Minimum, more than 300 years ago. The Maunder Minimum, sometimes referred to as the Grand Solar Minimum, was a period of greatly reduced solar activity between 1645 and 1715, when all sunspots on the sun effectively disappeared. Scott McIntosh, a solar physicist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Colorado, who wasn't involved in this recent research, told Live Science in an email that this new study, published October 3rd in the journal AGU Advances, showed that analyzers researching the historical rural records from Korea found that solar cycles during the Maunder minimum were only 8 years long on average, 3 years shorter than the modern cycles. The Aurora records were part of three separate books or chronicles written on behalf of Korean kings that contained detailed daily reports of royal business, state of affairs, weather, and astronomical phenomena between 918 and 1910, according to the study. It's really interesting. There's a little bit more to it than I'm saying here, but you should take a look at livescience.com. This is KQPI. That concludes our QST. So our question for tonight revolves around AI, and I thought it would be fun to invite our net members to speculate on AI's future uses. We're hearing a great deal of news about AI, and it's, you know, on everybody's lips. This week there were reports that AI-managed radio stations are on the horizon, and DJs may be a thing of the past. AIs will decide what to play, news, music, and sports, based on analysis of live trends. I'm a bit jaded with the term artificial intelligence. It's becoming such a buzzword, and it's mostly meaningless. For our purposes tonight, I'd like to redefine it in a more practical and realistic way that really does reflect what they're doing with it. Let's think of AI in our context tonight as using computing systems to perform very, very fast reviews of large data sets and then drawing useful inferences and correlations about that data, which then produces a product. For instance, you can ask an AI system to look at every lightning-producing storm in the U.S. over the last 100 years with a confirmed stroke, and it may just be able to produce a map showing the likely location and incidence of the next 1,000 strikes. That's sort of a general idea. So, for tonight's question for our net group, if you could have an AI of your very own and have it examine a volume of data, and it doesn't have to be one you have, just a make-believe one, and produce a useful output for amateur radio or technology, what would the information you would feed the AI be, and what would the information you'd hope to get out of that information from the AI in response? Just to get us started, my answer to this would be to feed in every sporadic E opening in 6 meters in all of history to determine how we can predict events and finally find a clear correlation between sporadic E propagation and some clear causal phenomena. Right now, they're really hard to predict. There's some general idea of what sporadic E is caused by, but no one's really certain, and I think it's something that might be useful. This is K2PI. That concludes all of our net news topics and our question for tonight. So at this time, I will invite check-ins from amateurs wishing to participate in the net. Those wishing to participate, please state your call sign and name once, and listen for an acknowledgement by net control. Each net participant will be called in the order recognized by net control. Stations wishing to check in, please call K2PI now.
K2PI, this is K4, Golf, Victor Hotel, K4, GVH. Robert, we'll wait. I'm in Culpeper, Virginia.
November, Romeo 3, November. What am I calling?
W4, VFW, Echo Link.
K04, VNZ, Chuck.
Okay, that acknowledges K4GVH, Robert, and R3N, Angel, W4VFW, Bob, and KO4VNZ, Chuck. Are there any further check-ins?
Kilo November 4, Fox Tango Tango, Rick.
W4RTU.
K4EI. And that acknowledges KN4FTT, W4RKU, and K4EI. Are there further check-ins?
Kilowatt 3, Foxtrot Romeo, Ron.
Well, you know, 6 meters is really open because K1HTV wasn't the first one in here tonight. That's a pretty good list to start with. I guess people are sort of otherwise engaged, so let's see if we can start off the net with this great group that we've already got. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. K4GVH, Robert, good to hear you this evening. Your comments for the net.
This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4GVH, good evening to everyone on the net. Rich came over to my house on Thursday morning, and K4SO and Mark and us came over. He came over to my house and helped me hook up a foot pedal. We got that mounted on a piece of wood now, so when I talk on HF, I can push the pedal down on my Kenwood TS-690 Arriva. And it really looks nice, and I can turn the mic around on a boom. Instead of the mic sitting up in the shelf, I can swing it around and put it close to my mouth and talk on HF, and I'm really thankful for that. So now I can push the pedal down on my feet. With my foot, I can push the foot pedal down, and it didn't cost me like $15 for the pedal, and I don't have any money to spend it at all. And Rich also got me three batteries from a cordless phone, but one will not charge up. We tried it a while ago. Ariel tried it, and she checked the plug and said it was plugged up. So I don't know if the battery's bad or the phone's bad. I'm about to get Rick to look at it when he comes back a chance to come over, because we've got to go to my dad's and take a number out of my phone and add one again. So the batteries won't charge up over here at Reed, for the one battery won't. The last, very last one. Other than that, you take care on the Rich, take care on the net there, Rich. This is K4, I mean, take care on the net there, Harv. Didn't mean to call you Rich. You take care. This is K4 Golf, Victor Hotel, K4 GV8 and 73, and have a blessed evening.
Hey, very good, Robert, and thanks for the comments. That's great to hear about those nice convenience features that Rich and Mark put in for you. I'm sure they're going to be very useful, and I'm happy to hear that you have them. So, and it sounds like you're excited about them, so that's also a big plus on that. So, great to hear you, and glad you're doing okay down there in Riva. NR3N, Angel in Puerto Rico via Echolink. Good evening. Your comments for the net from K2PI.
Well, good evening, Harv, and good evening, everyone on the net. Here's NR3N from Puerto Rico, from Fajardo, Puerto Rico. I haven't been down here in 6 years. Came down here to visit my mother for her birthday, which is tomorrow, her 67th birthday. A friend of mine told me that that I needed to visit my family more often, which he was correct. So I decided that I would just go ahead and buy a ticket and just make it home. I talked to my manager. He said it was okay. We can work remotely tomorrow. I have some things that are pending, but, you know, I think working remotely because I'm classified. Mainly I work on other stuff. But anyway, staying down here on Friday. I'm leaving on Tuesday morning. Happy to see my family, especially my niece, because she's 10 years old. And I saw her last when she was 4 years old and in diapers. So the shock was quite significant when I saw her get out of the car, come running to hug me. And I saw this young lady just running towards me. Aside from that, in the AI subject, I have no comments. I had an experience with ChatPTI or ChatPTA, something like that. I can't remember exactly what the acronym is. I tried something in regards to Morse code. I just said what it was Morse code and gave me like a 5-page write up on what it was. Now, if I had the chance to ask it something, for whatever reason or whatever outcome, I don't know. I have no idea what I would ask. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But anyway, I'm down here enjoying my family, which I haven't seen in a very long time. And I'm happy, excited, at the same time sad that I have to leave so soon. But I'm looking forward to start making it down here more often. 6 years, been a very long time, and it was one of those things that you make a choice, you do your thing, and I don't regret it, but I do feel that I need to do it more often. Anyway, good to hear you, Harv. Good to hear you, Jeff. I haven't been here in a while. I don't know if you were away or something, but I have not heard you in quite some time. And Kevin, I think the last time I heard you was in a meeting or a net, probably 5-6 months ago. Anyway, back to you, Hart. Back to Nick. This is NR3.
Hey, very good, Angel, and glad to hear you're enjoying your family visit down there. And it's a good thing you got back down there. Remember the last time I think you had to go down? It was not sort of an enjoyable visit, trying to take care of your mom after the terrible storm and power being out, et cetera. So glad things are working out and you have a chance to visit family. It's always important. We got back to the Philippines for the first time this past summer since the pandemic started, and it was just really wonderful to be able to finally go out and visit our family again. So glad that you're enjoying yourself out there. W4VFW, Bob, your comments for the net from K2PI.
K2PI, W4VFW. Well, as far as AI is concerned, I've reached the point where I'm too old to really grasp it. I see it every day, especially on customer service sites, and it's there, and it's going to be there, and there's nothing I can do about it. Fortunately, my life is pretty much an open book, and I don't have anything to worry about. If AI targeted me, it would come out with everything college football. I do have a question, if I may. I have an FTDX-10, a 991 Alpha, and I'm having problems on 60 meters. Wonder if anybody else uses those transceivers on 60 meters. As far as who I am, I'm the guy that was at Ben Hill Farms 54 years ago, and my 4 years in ASA are directly responsible for me having a ham license now for 56 years. Back to you. Thanks for picking me up. Thanks for running the net. Over.
Very good. Before you jump out, can you briefly describe the nature of the problem you're having with 60 meters? I know that there's folks with Yaesu gear here on the net tonight, and if they're going to answer your question, you probably need to give a little more detail other than you're having a problem with 60 meters.
I can't get a resonant antenna. I bought a 60-meter dipole, and I've just looked at it for a few minutes, but I can't get it resonant. I hope it's not the coax, which is new LMR 400, but I just wonder, are there any little tricks other than the specific channels for sideband? Over.
I'll see if some of the net participants. So it's not really a radio problem, it's an antenna problem. Assuming your radio into a dummy load shows a good SWR on 60 meters, then you probably don't have a problem in the radio itself. It sounds like it's an antenna issue or a coax issue. So I'll let those who use a lot of 60 meters go ahead and weigh in on that. I certainly I use it, and I've got an inverted L that tunes up fine on it, so I haven't had any problems particularly getting it to tune, but a lot of antennas just not going to be well resonant in that band. Most of them aren't designed for it. So KO4VNZ, Chuck, your comments for the net tonight from K2PI.
KGPI, this is KO4VNZ. Thanks, Harp, for taking the net. Let me first make another pitch. Thank you for pitching the great pumpkin ride. I just want to say that we are still short some people. I need at least one person to cover the Remington Baptist Church. Normally, that's one that Brad covers, but Brad's not in the area. And I'd like a few other people to sign up. I'd like someone to be with me at the starting line. We also, it'd be nice to have another person at Midland to work with.
November, Romeo, 3, November, disconnected.
I don't have anything technical today. As far as the topic AI, I think I would either use it to do some sociology work, or what I probably would really like to see is someone develop AI that can detect AI and forewarn me when I'm looking at something, whether an image or a statement is AI. You know, let AI really serve the world and police itself. And finally, I'll just say that I saw Katie. She's doing, looks really great. I went to the VE test session this past Saturday. And with that, I'll go ahead. This might not be proper procedure for 2 meters. I'll go ahead and sign off. This is KO4VNZ/Alpha Echo. Back to Ness.
Hey, very good, KO4VNZ, stroke AE, although you don't have to use it here since you were already authorized 2 meters before you passed your extra. But congratulations, Chuck. Yeah, I saw the exchange going back and forth. I should have mentioned it when I called you out. So congratulations. I know you've been studying hard for that. Congratulations on becoming an amateur extra, and I hope you make use of the band. Now you got to learn CW if you don't know it yet, and get down on the very lower portion of the bands and work all the DX that's waiting there until you get your extra, and then disappears completely, as I found out. So great to hear you tonight. KN4FTT, Rick, your comments for the net from K2PI.
All right, roger that. It's KN4FTT. Thank you so much, Harv. I appreciate you running the net tonight. Yeah, I also want to extend my my congratulations to Chuck for passing the extra test. I too was there at the Porter Library and got my extra as well. So pat on my back. Let's see the question at hand about AI. Been in computer science for quite so many years now. I would say that it would seem every 10 years or so, AI becomes a new marketing term. So for all those who make money from whatever it might be. Yes, AI, the word, the term AI is definitely overused. What would I want AI? So I know there was some kind of project at one point in time that was using, maybe it was using some kind of neural net, I'm not sure. You would be able to train your local model by feeding it a bunch of digital signals. So to me, that would be brilliant. If you could just feed it a whole bunch of signals that you can already hear on the radio, and then, of course, being able to identify the stuff that, if you feed it all, PSK31, and it becomes really good at identifying, PSK31. For those of us who are still learning, I can pick out RIDI and I can pick out PSK31, but there's some of those other, signals that I just can't quite, and I'm going through the laundry list of options in FLDigi, and it's just like it's not picking it up, and it gets kind of frustrating. So I think something like that would be really neat, it just immediately, as soon as it heard a stream, that it could just instantly go, oh yeah, that's such and such, whatever. And I like the comment where you said, AI, policing AI. It's, I think, also brilliant, especially in the scholastic, community. So that's it for me. Back to you, Harv. Thanks a lot. This is KN4FTT. Back to net.
Rick, that's a really interesting one, KN4FTT, and then that's from KQPI. There's actually an app on Android called Signal ID, which you hold it up to your radio and will do stuff like that. I don't have an Android, so I don't use it, but I've heard some interesting things about it, so you might want to check it out. Signal ID, one word. Finally, maybe somebody finally made a use of AI that was workable. That was certainly a really good suggestion. I can see that being a very useful thing if we had our own personal AI and we could just point it to a data set and tell it, do something useful for me. That would definitely be high on my list too, since I listen to a lot of things on the air and I love to try to listen to odd signals like that. So I appreciate that very much. W4RKU, Kevin, your comments for the net from K2PI.
K2PI, W4RKU, in the net. Good evening, Harv. Thanks for doing the net tonight. Couple of things on the AI. They have been pre-programming radio for a while without AI. The DJs aren't even live anymore. They just kind of pre-record stuff, even as the local ones. And for Chuck's comment, they are working on AI detector programs, too. I think one of the big uses, at least the first thing that came to my mind, would be not really radio-related, but predicting hurricanes. Because there's so many variables and so many data sets that you combine AI with quantum computing, it might be able to predict things a little bit better along the lines of hurricane paths. Outside of that, the only comments I have to make is I've been finally figured out a way. I'm using Grid Tracker more on SE8 now because I can remotely send the UDP package to my local PC using the Grid Tracker on the remote Pi, and then have it send it down to my Windows computer here. So that's actually been pretty handy, so it'll give me blips and alarms if there was a country or something I'm looking for. So, since, you know, like WSJTX, I mean, JT Alert cannot work on with Linux. So, that's all I have to say. It was nice to hear Angel out there, and enjoy his family time down in Puerto Rico. Start back over to you, Harv, KQBI, W4RKU, VectorNet.
Kevin, very good. And that's a good suggestion on the hurricanes. It's a type of stochastic data set that's really difficult to try to figure out the pattern in. So I think that's a perfect example of something that AI should be looking at. I'm sure somebody somewhere is doing it. Only as good as the data we feed it, though, of course. K4EI, Jeff, your comments for the net from K2PI.
Well, good evening there, Harv. K2PI from K4EI. Let's see. Angel, NR3N, great to hear you this evening, old friend. And, yeah, safe travels on your way back, and enjoy your trip down there in Puerto Rico in the meantime. Great to hear you. And congratulations to Chuck, KO4VNZ, and Rick, KN4FTT, both of you gentlemen, and passing your extra exam. So that's quite a milestone. As far as AI, you know, I really don't have anything ham radio related. But I like Kevin's suggestion about hurricanes, and I would just extend it a little bit further to climate in general. There's obviously a lot of concern and a lot of questions around that, and the more knowledge and information we could get and predictive qualities, the better. Of course, as you say, Harv, that's all dependent upon how good of data you send it. Other than that, I've just been enjoying watching the continued evolution of the Metastatic network. And, yeah, Harv, I've been very intrigued over the last day by Elecraft's KH1. I primarily operate Kenwood as my primary HF rig, but I've got an Elecraft KX3 as well, and several other pieces of Elecraft gear, and they make very, very fine gear. I'm a very big fan of theirs, and I wish them nothing but the best. And I'm personally very, very intrigued at this KH1. It's a little bit spendy, as most things from Elecraft are, but it certainly sounds like kind of a genre-breaking kind of HF radio. So very much looking forward to hearing more about it. And who knows, maybe at some point I'll jump in and see how it works personally. Anyway, that's all I've got. Harv, great. Thanks for running the net. And with that, I'll send it back to you. K2PI from K4EI.
Chef, K4EI, and the net from K2PI. Yeah, it's an interesting radio, and you're right, it's a little expensive, but I'll be interested to see how well they do with that. I appreciate the comments. K3FR, Ron, good evening. Your comments for the net from K2PI.
K2PI, this is K3FR. Very good, Harv, and good to have you do the net tonight. Thank you very much. well, I have been enjoying the wonders of 6 meters over the last couple of days. Not today, it was just a little ice occupied, but I did manage a few South American contacts and also out into the Midwest with my indoor antenna, and it was exciting to be able to do the E-linked trans-equatorial propagation here. AI, very interesting. Well, neural nets have been around. People have been talking about them and working with them now, I think, at least for a good decade. And they've been applying them to started out mainly just solving some very simple issues with regard to taking burden off of the human, thought burden at least. We have had many years of mechanization in our manufacturing and plants, but not so much in the more intelligence specific and heavy jobs. And that's where neural nets and now AI, as a buzzword that's come along, is starting to go into it. For instance, over the last 4 years, you know, all know that I'm a photography buff. There have been several of the main editor programs that are based on AI in terms of making selections, which is extremely hard to do manually. And even with a little bit of the simple algorithmic selection processes. But AI has really cleaned up some of those and gone into tasks such as sky replacement and toning of photographs to make the sky replacement look extremely realistic in terms of flipping the direction of light in the photograph, et cetera. And now the newer ones are even learning your own editing preferences and offering to edit your photographs, analyze and edit your photographs pretty much for you, getting rid of a number of the work-intensive process and leaving you a little bit more space for the creative process. Anyway, my little sideline on that, I'd like to see them continue that. It is helpful. But I'd also like them to continue working with the neural networks and the quantum computing and AI in the medical fields, as well as the hard technical fields, to get maximum benefit out of AI. And yes, they do have AI applications now, which do attempt to detect in the academic world use of AI. Interesting. So that they can make sure that the students actually try to learn something from what they're being presented. With that, and of course, as I said, in the medical range, curing some of the diseases that affect us all now and are so devastating. Back to you, Harv. K2PI, K3FR.
On K3FR, K2PI. Thanks for the number of comments. And yeah, I understand. I've seen some of those photography apps that that purport to use AI to solve things like you know, cosmetic imperfections and things in photos. It's they look very processed sometimes when you use them. All right, that brings us to the end of our list of check-ins tonight. I'll go ahead for a second round, or anybody who wants to come on with a secondary comment. Before I go ahead and call out for any other check-ins, I'll repeat the question we had tonight. The question was, if you could have an AI of your very own examine a volume of data and produce a useful output for amateur radio or technology, or anything, it seems like anybody anything is game here, what would the information you feed the AI be? And then what would be the information you'd hope to get from the AI in response? What useful output would you get? The station's interested in calling. Please, checking in, please call K2PI now.
KV4,
KWB.
Kilo, Delta 4, Romeo, Echo, Echo.
Kinetic Knowledge is K1HTV, KB4TWV, and KD4REE. Are there any further check-ins? Okay, we got a great trio to round out our net tonight. Rich, I guess 6 meters must have died, the Pacific is no longer coming in. So K1HTV, your comments for the net from K2PI.
K2PI, K1HTV. I hit a button on this microphone of this borrowed radio from Andy, a
QIT, I think it is, and I somehow messed up, so I could not transmit. I was transmitting Simplex, so somehow I must have hit a button that that's why I couldn't check in. Let's see. First, congrats to Chuck, KO4VNZ, and also to KN4T, what was T? Oh, I should remember. Anyway, the KN4T, you'll have to remind me later. Congrats on the upgrades. Conditions have been great on 6 meters. For the past maybe 35 minutes, 3D2AG has been coming in as high as plus 10 from Fiji. He's now faded out. I don't see him anymore. Earlier this evening, Harv, myself, and K4SO worked E51 Whiskey Lima in North Cook Island on the band on 6 meters. On Friday, I worked 3B9FR in Rodriguez Island for my Country 174. The E51 was number 175. On Saturday, the band would start opening to Falkland Island, worked a couple of VP8s on 6 meters, VP8LP and VP8NO, very active on the HF bands. They showed up on 6 meters, followed by many, many dozens, probably between 50 and 70 LU, LUPY, and other common South Americans, and a whole bunch of new grids on 6 meters over the past maybe 3 days. FK8HA and FK8CP have been on from New Caledonia and worked FK8HA, and many locals are calling the other station, CP, and he was trying to work into the Caribbean and was not answering any stateside stations to the... that made for many frustrated stateside stations who were calling. As far as the AI, others, I feed all kinds of data, such as solar winds and magnetosphere data, the BC component of the interplanetary magnetic field, various solar winds, meteor burnout information, HF soundings, and try to get some decent propagation predictors for 6-meter DX. takes a lot of, I'm not sure if anybody's ever going to be able to predict things on the magic band. Let's see what else. Finally, what else? I was going to mention about the tone squelch. I did not hear you talk about it, Harv. If you have that email that Andy sent out, for those who are not club members and did not get the email, the tone squelch, the transmitted tone squelch from the transmitter was on, and all of a sudden the digital interference started showing up in the past couple of days. Andy's modified it so for 10 seconds the squelch will stay open, then it'll shut down. So if you hear this racket of noise, it'll only last like 10 seconds and then be squelched out. But if you hear the repeater and all of a sudden after 10 seconds you don't hear it anymore, turn off your T squelch setting, your tone squelch setting from the receive side. And that would, for now, you have to go back to where we were in the past couple of months with that particular setting turned off. That's it. Back to you, Harv. Thanks for doing that. And we'll see you in the pileups at 6 meters. K2PI from K1HTV.
Hey, Rich. Very good. That was KN4FTT, Fox Tango Tango Rick, that I think you were trying to remember. Rick, let me make sure I got that call sign correct. Is that right?
That's Roger, Roger.
There you go. So congratulations to you as well on your extra. Is it KB4 Tango Whiskey Bravo? Is that correct?
It is Kilo Zulu 4 Tango Whiskey Bravo.
Sorry, I got that wrong. KZ4TWB, your comments for the net from K2PI.
K2PI, this is KZ4TWB. That's no problem. I'm the call sign. Not really much comment on the AI thing. I came in late, but some of the ones I heard were, identifying signals, which would be pretty useful to me because I haven't heard enough signals to know what they are, whether it's RTTY or some other digital signal out there, so that would be helpful. And again, on all the propagation predictions, that would be pretty cool. That's pretty much all I got. As for that, about a week or so ago, I actually put up my home built antenna. It was only like 11 feet off the ground, and I actually did better than my Fed antenna for hidden sound contacts in Germany because I didn't have to use as much wattage like I do with my NFED. I think I only used like 20 watts to hit Germany, which was pretty decent, so I need to get that thing up in the air. But as far as any more AI things to go, yeah, I don't have really much to say on that until I learn more about ham radio. So this is KD4TWB back to net.
And you go by Tim, is that correct?
That is correct. I go by Tim.
Hey, Tim, very good. And, well, great. I'm glad that the antenna's working out for you, which reminds me, we haven't had anybody come in with an answer to W4VFW who's having difficulty getting his antenna to tune on 60 meters. And so I'm going to offer that out at the end here and let anybody who wants to, before I close the net, after we go to Sim here, drop any answers they might have or any suggestions they might have to Bob on that antenna that he's having difficulty with. KD4REE, Sim, your comments for the net. Good to hear you tonight.
Yeah, just another quick comment. I'm having some issues with a new prescription with the side effects making me like drowsy and dizzy, so that's why I haven't been on the radio so much. So just want to let everybody know what's going on with me since I haven't been on this repeater much. Everything else going fine, just waiting for some more medical appointments to go to. That's all, nothing radio-related, just looking for some FM broadcast radios to buy for emergency use. That's all, back to you, K2PI from KD4REE.
Okay, very good, Sim, and hopefully that medication stops affecting you so much in the future. Well, if I could, there's a lot of different broadcast radios, but if you want a portable, good quality FM receiver, any of the CC Crane stuff with a Grundig, Golf Romeo Uniform November Delta India Golf radios, Grundig, are superior. I'd stay away from any of the Chinese manufactured radios that are out there right now that use sort of an SDR chip in them, because they're really finicky tuning on FM. I have a few of them here, really difficult to use. They look like real bargains on Amazon, but when you get them and try to tune in FM, you will regret it. So that is definitely not something I would buy. Grundig is a really good brand, and CC Crane seems to have excellent audio. So before I close the net tonight, anybody have any comments for Bob regarding tuning a 60-meter antenna?
K1HTV.
Two people in there, K1HTV, and who else?
K3FR.
I'll pick you up first, Rich. Go ahead.
A couple questions of Rob, W4VFW. First, have you tried tuning up the radio into a dummy load, as Harp suggested, and does it put out power? Or, on the second thing, have you put a bridge on the antenna and make sure the antenna looks like a nominally 50-ohm impedance? So once, if you can answer those questions, we can go right, Harb, I can right ask Rob if he's done either of those and what were the results. Over.
It's too early for me to have done either of those, and quite honestly, I didn't think about it. I do have a 50-ohm dummy load, but I've got to find it, and I will tomorrow. And on a spectrum analyzer, I did not measure it. The antenna was sold as a 60-meter inverted V, and it won't load. I don't understand it. But then again, I'm getting old, and that may not be all the problems. I just have to go back down and sit in front of my rig to remember all this. Anyway, it's good to hear you, Rich. Thanks very much for your comments. And I will do both of those things first thing in the morning. Over.
W4VFW, the net, K1HTV. Well, that'll at least lead you to the, you know, is the problem with the radio or is the problem with the antenna? If put the dummy load on it, find it, if you have a key jack, plug a key in it or connect two wires together. Just the key is the radio, and put out nominal 50 to 100 watts and see if you're getting power out. That at least proves the radio is working. As far as the antenna, don't forget, with an inverted L, as you bring the ends of the antennas towards the ground, the actual resonant frequency of that wire dipole. Let's assume it's a dipole. It goes lower and lower. It may be resonant at 5,000 instead of 5,300 or 5,400 kilohertz. So and as you raise it, of course, it will raise the resonant frequency. So you need to, with some sort of an impedance bridge or some sort of SWR measurement, if the radio is working, put an SWR bridge and start sweeping from the low end of the band to the upper end of the band. And if it's better at the upper end of the band, it tells you, well, the antenna is resonant higher. In other words, the antenna is too short. So you may have to add some wire to the end. You can figure it out from there, I think. Back to you, RFK1HTV.
Thanks, Rich, for giving that advice. K3FR, Ron, your comments.
Okay, this is K3FR. Remember, 60 meters just has five channels, so you only have five spot frequencies to make sure that to have a tune sweep on. Don't try to tune outside of a broadcast. Don't try to tune over a large van. I have a 57-foot non-resonant dipole antenna with a one-to-one balun. Balanced, unbalanced up at the feed point, and that is inside the house here. The antenna is also bent around in the attic, almost a Z shape. And finally, let's see, it also has some strange vertical, but I want to caution, and if you've got a tuner in your radio, Bob, that you disable that or put it in a disabled mode if you're running an external tuner. I do use an external LPG tuner as an auto tuner. I load pretty well on 60 meters, and frankly, my setup is works much better on 60 meters than it does on 40 meters. So it's just finding the right combination of antenna and tuner settings. Back to Net, K2PI, K3FR.
K3FR, K2PI. All right, before I close the net then, Bob, do you have any comments on what you've heard? W4VFW from K2PI.
I'm grateful, and I'll try this in the morning. I'll go back to the drawing board and report next week. Thanks, guys. God bless. See you later. W4VFW.
Thank you very much, and hopefully you'll get that antenna working and get on 60 meters. It is an interesting band. It's actually a really great low-power band, I've found, so lots of digital activity on it, too. All right. I will assume there being no further check-ins or comments, this will conclude the Fokker Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net for this evening. Thanks to all of you who participated. If you have questions or comments on tonight's net, the Fokker Amateur Radio Association, or even becoming a licensed amateur radio operator yourself, please send an email to FARANET, that's Fox Alpha Romeo Alpha November Echo Tango, FARANET, at W4VA.org, W4VictorAlpha.org, and you'll receive a prompt reply. Everyone is welcome to continue the dialogue on the repeater after the conclusion of the net. This is K2PI returning the repeater to normal use. Good evening.
1RA, K3FR.
Whiskey 4, Victor, Foxtrot, Whiskey, disconnected.